Good morning, church. Is this on? Y'all out there? Good to see you. Missed you last week. I know some of you are still kind of grieving that you didn't get to hear me preach last week. So here's the deal. Cheryl, here's the deal. You're stuck? Come on. It's okay. It's okay. She thinks she's going to get scolded by the preacher. So here's the deal. Since if you're grieving, I'm going to preach twice as long today so that you won't miss anything. And anyway, no, I won't do that to you. Glad that you're here. Anybody read the Psalms? We need to read the Psalm with me. Let's start reading the Psalm. The psalmist typically says things that I'm thinking and feeling, but I can't put in the same words. Anybody else? Listen, Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Are you glad? Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. Man, that is a big God that we worship. Yes? And he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. So let's go to him, shall we? Father, you are awesome. You are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. You are the God of creation. And what's mind-boggling to us is that you, the creator that casts the stars in the sky and spins the planets on your finger, you're mindful of us. We love you. We don't deserve your love, but we are grateful for it. When our praises please you, we lift high the name above every name, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You'll stand if you're able. Let's worship.
Good morning. Let's sing together.
Broken down.
And you may be seated. If the children would join Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa over by the doors.
Well, good morning. Good to see y'all this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. I missed not being here last week. I don't know. I didn't realize how much this nourishes my soul, being with God's people in the presence of the Lord. So this is it's a sweet time when we get together. The only thing on the calendar I need to mention is our Ash Wednesday service is the 18th, Wednesday night the 18th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and that service typically lasts about 30 minutes, so all our ministries will end a little early that night so we can start that service at 7. So this morning I want to pray through the names in our bulletin. Have a great privilege of doing this morning. I think it's Ephesians 6:18 speaks about praying in all occasions for all God's people with all prayers and petitions. So we're going to do our best to fulfill the heart of the Lord looking at that verse this morning. So if you want to grab your bulletin and just track with me, and I encourage you as we pray to just get before the Lord, assume whatever posture or position you need to assume to connect with Him this morning. Oh, Lord God, free us up to encounter You. Father, I pray against any distractions from the evil one this morning. And Lord, we're just striving to be obedient to Your heart as far as lifting up the needs of the saints. And so, Lord, would You honor this time this morning as we pray to You. Lord, I pray for Dennis Cumby. Lord, I pray for healing and peace for him. I pray for Austin Tice and the Tice family. God, I just pray for closure for that family, whatever that looks like. Lift up Laura Reinbolt and Evelyn Mitchell and Linda Stanfield and Mike Wilkins. God, would You bring healing and peace into their lives? And for Don Patton, Lord, I pray for healing and comfort, healing and peace for Samantha Gerngross, peace and comfort for Ned Cantwell, peace and provision for Joe Perez, healing for Joe as well. Pray for healing and provision for Britt and Lisa Thornhill, healing and comfort for Bart and Linda Calcote, and God, healing and strength for Joyce Gamotes as she continues her cancer journey. God, would You just bless her this day. Let her feel Your presence. Lord, lift up Patsy Cox to You and James Cox as well for healing and peace. For Debbie Mills, healing and comfort. For Mike Cass, healing and peace as he undergoes open heart surgery this Thursday. For Chris, healing and peace. For Linda Everhart, healing and comfort. For Linda Muth, healing and peace. God, I thank You that she's had a couple of good days. Lord, would You restore her in Jesus' name. And for Clifton Floyd, healing and peace. Dina Warren's precious mother, for peace and comfort. Gary Gamotes, for healing and peace. And Ashley Brazelton, for healing and peace. And Lord, I also want to pray for Maddie Gallagher, who's on our prayer calendar today. Precious college student. Lord, would You bless her this day, Father. Let her sense Your presence and Your goodness, Lord, as she seeks Your desire for her for the future. Father, I just pray that You, God, give her revelation as to who You created her to be. And Father, I'm almost certain there's a number of people here this morning that need a touch from You. So Lord, would You provide those things for those people? Lord, would You glorify Yourself? Would You show up in supernatural ways, Father? Would You just surprise people with how good You are? how loving you are. Father, I pray against discouragement this morning. Pray against the spirit of depression this morning. Pray against anxiety this morning in the hearts of people. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. I pray that peace just blow through this room. Comfort and heal this morning, Jesus. And we love you for who you are. Thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I'm blessed by this multi-generational praise team this morning. Man, God is just, he's just so good to us to provide what we need. I want to thank you for your financial faithfulness. As always, the giving options are on the screen. The offering boxes are by the doors. If you need prayer this morning, please don't get out of this place without connecting with one of our prayer folks. They'd love to pray with you. Let's stand as we continue to worship the Lord together.
Well, good morning again, church. As Billy said, welcome to our live stream worshipers as well. Glad that you're worshiping with us. If you are our guests here this morning, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. That's the greatest compliment I ever get, is someone tell me that they felt the Spirit in our worship. If you are a guest, there's a card in the pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you. At this end of the foyer, I'll have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you after the service. If you will turn with me, church, to Acts chapter 9. If you haven't read Acts, read Acts. It's a great book. So I want to set the stage. We're going to read the first several verses in chapter 9, but I want to set the stage. It's going to be talking about Saul and this encounter that Saul had with the Lord. But to set the stage there, Saul, who later became Paul, he was a devout Jew who thought that the church was kind of heresy to the law. And he set about either imprisoning or killing Christians. And in fact, what we know is the first martyr of the church, Stephen, and you can read about this in Acts chapter 6, but Stephen was stoned for the horrible crime of proclaiming the gospel. And it says that Saul was there giving approval to his death, and the people that were stoning him laid their coats for Saul to watch as they stoned. And Saul was a bad dude. He was a bad dude. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so if he found any there belonging to the way, big W meaning the gospel, the church, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" He already recognized from this brief sentence that this was the Lord. Saul asked, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. I bet they did. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." And again, I bet Saul was praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. I would say that he could see maybe for the first time. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we know you're here with us because you promised to be here with us. Would you speak? Would you speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So continuing the sermon series, good news for the not so good. Anybody else besides me in that camp? Good news. We have good news. If you're in the not so good camp, you have good news. Today's message, the scales must fall off. So when I was a young buck, I had great eyesight. I never had any problems with my eyes growing up. But around 40, I know many of you didn't even know I was that old, did you? Around 40-ish, I started realizing this. It's kind of hard to read that page. So got some glasses, mostly for reading, But ever so often, anybody ever go to the driver's license place to get their driver's license renewed and looks into this little thing? Go ahead, Lee. Anybody ever look in there? Well, there's no sweat, man. For years, I would go to the driver's license facility, and they would ask me, can you look in here? And I'd take off my glasses, and I'd look in there, and I'd read the little things, and no sweat, and they'd just process my driver's license, and I'd go on about the business. Well, 2 or 3 years ago, I went to get my license renewed, and they wanted me to look in the little machine, and I took off my glasses, and it was just, I couldn't do it. It's just mush. And I tried, but I couldn't get it done. And she said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, but we're going to have to put a restriction on your driver's license that you got to wear your glasses. You see, they were actually, as that's frustrating for me, but they were actually looking out for me because I thought, man, I can really see just fine if I'm not reading. Well, the problem is there's street signs that you have to read, speed limits you have to read. And I've since tried, I thought, man, I'm going to show them. So I'm driving down the road, I'm like, I don't even know what that sign says. They were looking out for me because, see, there's hazards. If you can't see what you're doing when you're driving, it's hazardous. Well, Saul had a vision problem. Let's dive into this scripture a little bit more today. First point I want to make is knowledge does not cure spiritual blindness. Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked for letters that allowed him to arrest them. They might take them as prisoners. And here's the thing. Saul was, as I said before, two weeks ago, I preached in Philippians where, I don't know if you remember, becoming what we already are, but it was Paul wrote Philippians, and in Philippians 3, it talks about, Paul is saying the Judaizers were trying to tell the new Christians, especially the Gentiles, that once you come to Christ, that's great, but you still have to abide by the law. And Paul said, he said, no, you want to put confidence in the flesh, let me explain something to you. I have all the reason in the world to put confidence in the flesh. And he went on in Philippians 3, he said, I've been circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, I've been persecuting the church. So he used to think that was a good thing. As for legalistic righteousness, I've been faultless. And he also, later it mentions in Acts, that he was a Roman citizen. He had a lot of things going for him. Saul was, so think about it. Saul has this encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. Saul was religious. He was educated. He was devout. He was passionate. And he was blind. He was blind. He thought he saw clearly. He thought he saw clearly. And he thought to be obedient to God was to persecute the Christians, to either throw them in prison or have them beat or have them killed. Spiritual blindness, church, it's not a, there's a, they struggled with this in the early church, Gnosticism, where they thought it was thought, in order to have a relationship with God, it was all about spiritual knowledge. Well, we know that's not true. Spiritual blindness, it's not a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of revelation, it's a lack of transformation. Saul, he had all the knowledge and the passion in the world, but he was blind. Knowledge does not cure spiritual blindness. Again, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age, who's he talking about? The God of this age? Satan. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Are we seeing that in our world today? People blinded to the truth. I watch the news or I read stories and I'm just like, what? Why are we even talking about what? That's a real issue? Spiritual blindness. The God of this age, Satan himself, blinds the minds of unbelievers. Something needs to happen. Something needs to happen. And it's not more knowledge. It's not more passion. Something needs to happen. Jesus said, I've come into the world so that the blind will see. And this is interesting, those who see will become blind. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Sauls who thought they saw, but were really blind. So, question. Where might you be confident but wrong in your theology, in the way you conduct yourselves, the way you feel about people or situations? Where might you be confident but wrong? Secondly, sin obstructs our ability to see the truth. See, knowledge doesn't cure our blindness, but it has to be dealt with. Sin obstructs our ability to see the truth. I think about Saul, and I think most of us could probably put ourselves in one of these categories or more. But I think about potentially Saul's scales, what blinded him to the gospel, perhaps pride, perhaps tradition. I told the early services, I hadn't planned on saying it, but I'll say it. We're a Global Methodist church. I'm a Global Methodist pastor. And I respect, I think we can learn a lot from John Wesley, who founded the Methodist church. But John Wesley didn't die for me. And a denomination doesn't save me. Our annual conference doesn't save me. Tradition doesn't save me. Perhaps tradition, may be blinding us, may be one of the scales that we have on our eyes. I know, you remember, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think the Lord's leading me to share this. You remember, and this was really big in the 80s and 90s, you remember the worship wars? Anybody remember part of the worship wars? It's happening in a lot. George, that probably never happened in any of your churches, or Larry, probably never had any of that. But you don't sing that song. That's not right. You sing this song, and you sing it this way. And it's interesting. Wanted to sing these traditional, and I love all. We try to blend our music here. I hope you've seen that. So this isn't about one type of music over another, but it's interesting. One of the greatest hymns, traditional hymns we have is How Great Thou Art. Don't you love that song? It's written in the 50s. It wasn't written, 1,000 years ago. It's written in the 50s. Tradition, pride, tradition, self-righteousness. Maybe our scales are self-righteousness. I've got it right, but these others don't. False teaching, where we... And that's, I say this all the time, please read your Bible. Don't rely on me to tell you what it says. Men died so we could have this in our hands and in our home. I'm telling you, there's a lot of false teaching out there, even through pastors, through evangelists. Just start reading on the internet what some different high profile type people are teaching that doesn't line up with God's word. Know God's word. Maybe our scale is just, for Saul, it was he knew Jesus was a real person, and he knew that these people were worshiping him, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't understand who Jesus was and is. He lost his physical sight. I believe the Lord took his physical sight perhaps to reveal his spiritual condition. So I've got another question for you. What assumptions, habits, or attitudes may be clouding your vision? All right, thirdly. So, knowledge doesn't cure our spiritual blindness. Sin obstructs our ability to see to the truth. And thirdly, we are changed when the scales come off. I just love that moment. You got Saul, he's not only not a believer, but he thinks he's doing the right thing. He's persecuting the church because he believes that's what he's supposed to do. And he's this devout Jew, has all sorts of knowledge, and he's passionate. And then he encounters Jesus. The scales come off. And two times it says immediately. When the scales came off, some things were happening for Saul immediately. The first is immediately the scales fell off, and he immediately got up and was baptized. Now, I'll talk a second about baptism. Baptism, some of my ex-pastors here, y'all can either agree with me or you can throw a rock at me later. But baptism, we know, doesn't save us. There's nothing magical about the water. What is magical is the blood of Jesus. That's what saves us, the blood of Jesus. The baptism is a sign that we have received that of what Christ has done for us. But immediately when the scales fell off, immediately Saul got baptized. And it's interesting that Ananias, when he went and he spoke to Saul and told him that he'd been sent by Jesus, he says, I've been sent so that you may see. I like to stop it there instead of again because I'm thinking on the spiritual level. I've been sent that you may see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, yes, God used Ananias, but Ananias didn't change Saul's life. Ananias didn't do anything supernatural for him. He was just an obedient servant for the Lord. What did transform Saul was a revelation of who Christ is and a filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what transformed him. And when we come to that moment, we can call it, you can call it being saved or transformed, however you want to say it, something should change in us. Something should change in us. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. There's something transformational about that, that time of being changed by Jesus. There's something that transforms us. So another question for you. Who or what might God be using to help you see more clearly? Now, maybe perhaps you already have had that Saul encounter in your life. And it doesn't have to be radical like that. And maybe it's just this kind of soft washing. You've just always known that God loves you. That's transformation as well. But God uses people or circumstances many times to help us see more clearly. Perhaps that's already happened for you. And if it has, I encourage you to thank God for the people and the circumstances he's used to transform your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. I love that passage, by the way. And then fourthly, so we're changed when the scales come off. And seeing, when the scales come off, it leads to purpose and mission. There it is again. Twice it says that, well, it says immediately he got up and was baptized. At once he was baptized, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. So, man, that you talk about transformation, and immediately, as soon as Saul had this transformation moment where the scales came off and he understood who Jesus is, he immediately, think about the radicalness of this, he began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. This is anyone else who was proclaiming that 3 days earlier before his encounter with the Lord on the road, he would have either had them killed or had them imprisoned. And even the early church was leery of Paul for a while. As he was coming in and he wanted to preach in the towns, they were like, wait a minute, isn't that the guy that'll have you thrown in prison? Or watch you get stoned? When the scales fell off, Saul received his sight. He was baptized. He received the Holy Spirit. He identified publicly with Christ. His direction and identity changed. Now here, listen to this. And he immediately began to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God. Let me say a couple things, then I'll come back to that. Clear vision. When the scales come off, clear vision produces bold witness. It should. If we truly have been transformed, then we should not be able to remain silent. Long before I was a pastor, when God transformed my heart, and I say this, I've said this before, but my mom and dad were strong Christians, and still, mom's still here being a strong witness in my life, but they taught me the right things, took me to church and did all the things, but I couldn't, their faith wasn't going to save me. Does that make sense? Their faith needed to become my faith. But for 30 years, I just didn't get it. I was trying to be a good person, and I was trying to do the right things, and it was just a bunch of do's and don'ts. But then when Christ transformed me, long before I was a pastor, I couldn't remain silent about that anymore because of what he had done and who I knew him to be. Seeing clearly must lead to obedient action. It is. If in Revelation, the Lord says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, which really, and this is kind of gross, but it really means to vomit. The translation is to vomit. He's like, I'd rather you be against me or for me. Pick one. But if you're lukewarm, if you're kind of, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He wants people of bold, obedient action. Now it's going to look different for each one of us. It's going to look different. Maybe it's just loving somebody at the office, that treating someone kindly at the office that nobody else will. They're really just kind of hard to love person. Maybe it's sitting down and having lunch with somebody that is hard to love or needs a friend. Maybe it's when you don't have to have fancy scriptures to quote to people, but if somebody asks you why are you not freaking out right now about this? Why do you have peace right now? Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. It's easy. Just tell them what he's done for you. If we've truly encountered Jesus, we will live differently and speak boldly. Something changes in us. If I just invite you, if you would bow your heads for a second. If you want to follow along with this prayer in your own heart, if this is what's in your heart, you can repeat in your heart about what I'm fixing to pray. Lord, remove any scales from my eyes. Help me to see you in your truth clearly. Help me to see myself honestly. Help me to see others the way you see them through your grace and your mercy. Lord, again, just remove the scales from our eyes. Give us a boldness. Give us clear vision and bold witness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to conduct the Lord's Supper today using the liturgy. It'll be on the screen, but if you'd also like to follow in your bulletin, page 12 of your hymnal, excuse me. If you'll read the bold print, I will read the other. One of the hindrances, I think, when we go through the liturgy is that it just becomes words on a page. As you read these prayers, as you read these confessions, think about what you're saying. Apply it into your own heart and your own life. Christ our Lord invites you to his table, all who love him. Church, do you love him? You out there? Do you love him? You're invited. And who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin? You are invited to this meal. And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Read with me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So just know as you pray your prayer of confession that God makes us righteous through Christ, but he doesn't make us perfect right away. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So it's good for us to confess our own shortcomings before our Heavenly Father. Go ahead and do that in your own heart. Hear the good news, church. Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. That proves God's love towards you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. A great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If those who are serving would come forward, please. Praise team, you can come on up. Be ready. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you have confessed your sins before Jesus, if he is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome at this table. These two stations here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread and dip it into the cup and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center here, return to your seat to partake of those, and you can discard your empty when you exit today. The altar rail is also open. Come.
Trust in chariots.
Jesus. The scales fell off. Immediately, he got up and was baptized and began to proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Church, that's a pretty good model. Pretty good model for us to follow. It's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
There is wonder-working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.